It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Don't forget, you can always text us your comments about the topics of your choice at the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. That's 98973. But right now it's time for the Fastest 15, and we'll start with Michelle Obama on the Today Show. While on the Today Show, Michelle Obama addressed the cough drop incident with George W. Bush at John McCain's funeral.
There was a tiny moment at John McCain's funeral where former President Bush handed you a cough drop. It may have been a nothing to some people, but when you watched that moment, we realized how important that tiny moment was, right?
I didn't realize at the time that anybody noticed what we were doing. We were sitting together. You know, President Bush and I, we are forever seatmates because of protocol. That's how we sit at all the official functions. So he is my partner in crime at every major thing where all the formers gather. So we're together all the time, and I love him to death. He's a wonderful man. He's a funny man. And it was a simple gesture. He was getting a cough drop from Laura, and I looked over and I said, hand me a cough drop. He was like, oh, okay. And I will add that they were old cough drops. That's the funny thing, because they were in the little White House box, The Altoids. And I was like, how long have you had these? And he said, a long time. We got a lot of these.
All right. So a lot of people looked at this little moment where they kind of smiled at each other. He's putting something discreetly into her hand. And they were trying to figure out what it was. Originally, it was reported as candy. Then it turns out it's a cough drop. So why did this catch on? Why was this such a viral moment?
It was one of those moments where people felt like, oh, there's a little bipartisan moment, even just as simple as a cough drop.
That's why it matters so much, because that's what people are hungry for. They're hungry for what we all know, that, you know, party doesn't separate us, color, gender. Those kind of things don't separate us. You know, it's the messages that we send. And if we're the adults and the leaders in the room and we're not showing that level of decency, we cannot expect our children to do the same. So that's what I think about when I think about the gestures and the symbols and what our words mean and the impact that it has. I think about the next generation every single time.
I can boil it down even more than that, I think. I think what it is a lot of people are really mad at each other. And then you see two people smiling, and when you see people smiling on camera, it doesn't matter who they are, and they're laughing or enjoying each other's company, it's infectious.
Absolutely.
And so you see the Republican former president with the Democrat former first lady. You see them have this little moment together, and you can't help but smile because you like the idea that America is beyond, you know, one political party or the other. So you enjoy that.
And it is so true.
And I know some of my conservative friends will be upset with me by this, but both George W. Bush and Michelle Obama are likable. People like them personally. They like their personalities.
Absolutely.
They like how they treat other people. They like them outside of the political realm.
If you were to go to a bar and you see a few people, you know, sitting and you say, hey, who do I want to sit by? Those would be the two.
you would want to. And so, you know, Dick Cheney would be like, what about me? You know, it's like, I would enjoy talking with Dick Cheney, but I know he's not everybody else's cup of tea. I'm not sure I'd go bird hunting with the man, but still.
He would, you're funny.
I'd certainly have a beer with him. But anyway, so you have this little moment where where two people are able to get together. They like each other. I don't necessarily think it's this great, you know, kind of a, hey, we're just dying for bipartisanship. I think it's more fundamental than that. I think it's just basic humanity there. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why the Obamas get along really well with George W. Bush is he's not running for office again. And one of the reasons why the Bushes can get along really well with the Obamas is because, well, actually, once Bushes get out of office, they don't really do the political attack stuff as some predecessors do. They kind of step away from it like George Herbert Walker Bush did. And George W. Bush does.
But I think there is something refreshing, and it would be so refreshing to be able to get back to a time when we really didn't care what party you were in. And if it could just be, hey, you're just a decent person, you're fun, and
let's not forget that Trump and the Clintons used to go and party together.
I know.
I mean, they used to chill. So for as much as they talk, lock her up, and, you know, and what about Trump? Why isn't he being investigated? You think, you know, if you guys really thought that you were so awful, why did you hang out
right
so often with each other?
Right.
It's kind of
but even
a strange
when you
thing.
when you dive into social media, that's the other thing. I mean, you just feel like you're under assault at all times, and it's just
very
refreshing
true.
To see. Hey, you know what? People can be very different. I mean, you know, and still get along and still just be decent human beings.
That is very true. A lot of people unfriending each other on Facebook. The moment somebody disagrees, I don't understand it. It's like everybody put on your adult pants and say, you know, if somebody disagrees with me, that's okay. It doesn't mean I have to be uncivil to them or hate them. Even if I'm mad at them, I can set that to the side. And here's the beauty of social media. You can shut it off. I mean, you can just click somewhere else, go somewhere else. I highly recommend trying that instead of just ignoring people for all time. Because let's face it, I think social media makes people more lonely, more isolated.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to need some kind words from someone, and you could be that someone. All right, let's go to the fastest 15. We also have good news from a Renton woman who was pleading for the return of her stolen dog. We updated you that the suspect is now in custody. The little dog, Kino, the pit bull, is healthy. He's at the Auburn police station. She was wondering before if she'd ever see her beloved pet again.
Watching it over again, it's like, oh my God, is this the last time I'm ever going to see my dog?
She was begging for the dog to be returned, no questions asked.
You know, it's my child. I know I haven't had him that long. I just rescued him, but it feels like we're supposed to be together.
A couple of things there. Now I want to know, now that the dog's back and he didn't, you know, the suspect didn't just turn the dog in, Don't you think she wants questions asked?
Yeah, and just to give more context, so this happened Thursday, and so on surveillance video, you can see this guy walk in through her front door, apparently stole some electronics and walked out. He said something to her pit bull, Kino, and the dog followed him out of the house.
Yeah, it's like either that or the dog's in on it, you know, was casing the joint for him. You know,
he's sure.
Because like, she picks him up at the shelters. He's like a, you know, secret agent dog just waiting, you know, to inform the other fellow. Hat tip Hollywood. There's a movie for you there.
And it would be a good plot.
But anyway, the dog leaves with the thief, and so the dog's part of the stolen loot, which, by the way, there should be a special penalty for people who steal dogs. That would just be, I would have been traumatized if it was my dog. So she has the situation, but as I was reading about it, one, I wanted to know, does she still feel like no questions are needed, or is now the point where she's like, all right, you were caught, you didn't give it back, now I've got some questions. Secondly, she said that one of the reasons why she rescued this dog is he cocked his head to the side. Now, I mean,
that's pretty much every dog.
Exactly. And I was wondering if she finds out, now that she's made this really public, if she finds out that every dog cocks their head to the side, is that going to diminish poor little Kino? You know what I mean? In her mind?
Doesn't sound like it. Well, she sounds pretty dedicated.
I hope not. But the possibility is out there. And story number three, a suicide prevention walk. More than 2,000 took part in the Out of Darkness walk at Seattle Center. This from Cairo Television, Channel 7. Justine McClure of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says this event raised more than $230,000.
And that means that people are having the conversation around mental health and suicide prevention. And the more that people can speak about mental health, we know we can save lives.
And Iris Elton, who lost her fiancé when she was pregnant with their twins, I found this story to be particularly tragic and heartbreaking, that her boyfriend, who I believe was a fireman, opted to commit suicide in the midst of this time that should have been one of impending happiness.
But it's so important that we help others realize how awesome life is. And that's a big part of my healing. And I hope that they learn a lot from that.
And one can only hope that that's true. Look, I've frequently feel like the walk stuff it doesn't really speak to me, because I'm always wondering, you know, if you want to be aware of something, why does it require a walk? I don't get it. But they work. They do work. People get very excited about them. They raise a lot of money.
Well,
and hats off to them for that. And there's been way too much of there's a huge social stigma, I think, to mental illness. And it does get in the way of people seeking help.
Absolutely.
And we need to find ways to improve the ability of people to go and actually get assistance before they get to that point.
That is so true. With the walks, I mean, you know, for the people who were doing the walk themselves, it wasn't a huge amount of money they raised, but they raised some. But, you know, when they talk about awareness, I mean, it's also the support. You know, a lot of those people are survivors of suicide, you know, so like the woman who has the two young children, And, you know, you really need to know there is help out there. And we have to be comfortable saying, I mean, if someone tells me I'm really depressed or I can't get out of bed or whatever, I will ask them, are you thinking of suicide? You have to be that direct. And you say, you know, and know that and reach out, help, you know, direct them to where there are resources. If you can't do it, I mean, there is help and suicide is preventable, but we just need to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's extremely difficult because, you know, people are worried about admitting to a mental illness of any kind because there's that question mark that comes in. And then, you know, you look in the news or you're worried it could come up in a job interview or any number of different kinds of situations.
But, asking for help is not a weakness.
Yeah, and you think about what this, you know, this woman and her twins are facing now. Would they be willing to risk all of that to have this man with them, the father of her children? Absolutely. There's just no question about it. So very sad, but good for all these folks for speaking out. Now, close it off on something a little happier. Coming up, we'll talk about Kanye West's meeting with Donald Trump. He's particularly cheerful about, or Trump is cheerful about this particular meeting. Kanye's getting hammered. He's getting punished for the whole thing. That's here on the Dory Monson Show. David Bell is filling in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Well, my mistake. I thought that was the bump out music, but it turned out it was just the Fastest 15 music had ended, and then we started up some new stuff again. So, SNL spoofs Kanye's meeting with Donald Trump. Here's how it went.
We've got an amazing lunch to get to, but first I'm sure that Kanye wants to make one or two brief, lucid remarks.
First, let me begin with the idea that time is a myth. It's of infinite amounts of universe, and I'm a prisoner in a different dimension. Have I lost anyone so far? Okay, so I'm gonna talk about trap doors. Like the 13th Amendment is a trap door. And if you're installing a floor, okay, aka the Constitution, why would you build a trap door where you could end up with the Unabomber?
Oh, this guy might be cuckoo. I mean, I've been in the room with Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un, and they made a lot more sense than him.
Here's the thing about Saturday Night Live.
See, I don't even think that was funny.
I don't think so either. The other thing is I've interviewed scientists about string theory before, and some of this sounded as bizarre as that. Right? Well, it's just that they say it in a calm voice.
But he has admitted, and we talked about this a little bit last week, he has admitted that he has bipolar disorder, although he's questioning it. I mean, he honestly sounded like someone who was in a complete manic phase.
Yeah.
Like a hypomanic phase. And, you know, I just don't think it's funny.
And after just talking about the need for people to be able to freely speak about mental illness issues, also there's the Trump stuff where if you hate Trump, I can see why you liked Saturday Night Live's Trump. Maybe if it's one of those things where look at how bad they're portraying him. But the key to good caricature is to grab the good and the bad and exaggerate it. And I understand why, because Trump is kind of a celebrity already, he's kind of larger than life figure, he'd be more difficult to be a caricature. But the Saturday Night Live thing is just Alec Baldwin with his lower lip out speaking rudely constantly. And to me, it's not funny. I like the other guy who did it. I can't remember his name. Daryl Hammond, I think, was doing Trump beforehand. Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought he was funny. I thought he was good at it. I think Baldwin gets more headlines because he's a more famous person in his own right, and he hates Trump, and he can talk about him in real life. But I just think it's a tired.
How did you feel about the actual event, Trump having Kanye in, and just what went down?
I think it's hilarious. I mean, it's one of those things where people – I attended both the Republican and Democrat conventions in 2004, and it's interesting because Democrat conventions are filled with Hollywood people. You know, you've got lots of celebrities there. I remember Alyssa Milano walking through, you know, for example. But numerous celebrities are coming in and out of the Democrat National Convention. Republican National Conventions – the celebrities there are usually B-listers, or maybe they were in
it's
a Scott patriotic Baio movie.
Or Clint Eastwood.
Well, Baio's kind of new to the game, but Clint Eastwood was one. You know, he's got the empty chair up there. Charlton Heston used to be a popular figure. But other than that, the celebrities at a Republican event were the politicians themselves. You know, it was like they were rock stars at the convention. Democrat conventions had actual celebrities, you know, that would attract a crowd outside of a theater or something. So when Trump brings people like Kanye West into the White House, I think it's a culture shock for a lot of people because it's part of the celebrity retinue that they're not used to when it comes to that side of the aisle. And he's always a character. It was like Trump's always a character, Kanye West always a character. Now you have two people in the room that are always characters that are going to say things that are crazy and out there. And
I think President Trump, though, really, his eyes, I mean, it told a lot when he was watching. He's like, I can't believe I have anything to say right now to add to this.
Yeah. And then West was mocked in Saturday Night Live for his password faux pas.
Now, I want to show y'all a picture, all right, of an airplane, okay, on my iPhone. And let me just put the passcode in, 0000000. I'm a genius. Here's a picture of a new plane. I want this to be your new Air Force One.
Wow, very cool. Very cool indeed. But where's the plane?
It's invisible.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. And who is that?
That's Wonder Woman.
Okay. Maybe we should order your lunch from a pharmacy.
You know, again, it's just one of those things where, to me, the spoofing of it just didn't work.
But to say they should make fun of his mental, you know, problems, what's he doing in the White House having a seminar then?
Well, that's... Are you saying that the mentally ill should never be invited to the White House, Chris?
No, but I mean, we should call out, because the whole thing is just a publicity stunt on Trump's part. So
why do you think basketball teams show up there or football teams? I mean, publicity stunts at the White House. What? I mean, get the breaking news segment out here. We've got a publicity stunt at the White House.
I understand you don't want to make fun of someone's, you know, mental issues.
Don't get me wrong. I think that you can make fun of people for all kinds of things. I don't want to be one of those in the let's make comedy so sensitive that we can never make fun of anything about anyone. But it strikes me that there's time and a place and there's a way to do it. And sometimes it's like the way the U.S. Supreme Court used to talk about pornography. You know, you'll know it when you see it. I just didn't think this was funny. I just thought it was, okay, you don't like Kanye West, but you liked him enough when he was hosting your show. But now he's not good enough.
Maybe they just had the target wrong. I just would say the White House agreeing to the whole thing in the first place.
And again, I think the White House likes the publicity. They like controlling the news. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, all of a sudden for a 48-hour cycle, everybody's talking about Kanye West and Donald Trump instead of something else. So, you know, he's controlling the agenda. There are some who believe that that's a wise political strategy. David Bowe's in for Dory Monson. That is your Fastest 15 here.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
David Bowe's in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You can text us your comments via the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. You can comment about the show. You can comment about a given topic, whatever you want. Just text 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line. Renton police are looking for suspects who stole from a mourning mother. It doesn't get much lower than this. On September 14th, or between 4 and 4:30 p.m. or somewhere thereabouts, there was a woman who was mourning at the gravesite of her 11-year-old son at Greenwood Memorial Park. While she was mourning her son, the 11-year-old boy, thieves drove by, saw her purse in her car, took it, and then used her credit cards and rang up over $1,300 worth of goods at seven different stores in Highlands End and the South End. Now, one prays that the cameras at the stores will have pictures of these thieves up rather swiftly. But, you know, you read about this and you think it can't possibly get lower than that. And by the way, it's not like if you're a car prowler, you don't know what people are doing, right? They might not have known she was mourning an 11-year-old boy, but they would know that she's mourning someone because you got to drive where there's the grave sites in order to steal from the vehicles. So they had to have known, which makes it an even lower
situation. About as low as it gets.
It is. And I understand, I mean, one of the strange things about addiction, one of the things that drives people crazy is people will do absolutely anything, you know, for the fix. I mean, that's why they're living, you know, on the side of I-5 because they've burned all of their social bridges, the ones that they had with family and friends, because in order to get that fix, they will lie, cheat, steal, do whatever it takes to get the drugs. And so they, you know, they burn the bridges that they might have, and there's nowhere for them to go when they actually are looking for help. And that's, you know, it's a double-edged sword, basically. When they finally hit rock bottom and they want to change, it's hard to get the change going because they've already ripped off everybody in their life that might have given them a hand up. And so you got to kind of rebuild all the social trust that you lost. Whoever did this, racking up the $1,300 while she's weeping over son, I mean, I can't imagine what that must be like. To go to the gravesite alone is like, you know, it's an open wound. And then to have people do that to you while you're there, just insane to me. Now, the other thing I'd like to know is where I'm curious to know where the money was spent and how fast. Because I had my credit card copied somehow recently. I got a call from the bank. They said, yeah, did you just purchase $17 worth of something or other? And I think it was in North Dakota or Idaho or something. And I said, no, I'm in Washington State right now and haven't left the state in, at least a month. And they said, oh, okay, well, we're going to change that. And I said, wait a second. Well, I got you on the line, bank person. What was spent yesterday? Was there any out-of-state purchases yesterday? And it turns out that somebody had charged almost $500 worth of stuff, I think it was, at a gas station in Iowa.
And okay, what can you get for $500
exactly,
at a gas station?
Exactly. And I thought, okay, how do you spend that much? They must have bought every Hostess product there. I mean, the line of snacks must have just been gone. I mean, there's just the shelves must have just been emptied.
Maybe it's one of those that had clothes and hats. And
yeah, clothes, hats, the wine. You know, they have the $3 to $4 bottles of wine there for $8. Just load up all that, $500 worth of convenience store stuff. And then you have to get to the point where the clerk's saying, now this isn't suspicious to me. Yeah, I don't need to see your ID for this $500 purchase. Who grocery shops at the convenience store, right? So nobody asks about that. And the credit card company gets ripped off. And you think, okay, well, I didn't have to pay for it because they write it off. But you can bet somehow, some way, you know, we, the rest of us, are paying for this kind of thing. And I just wanted to know, how is it possible that so often I'm at a store and they want to see my ID for a you know, $6 purchase, but when somebody walks in for $500, they don't actually ask for the ID? How is that possible?
I think you see a lot of things at truck stops, working at a truck stop.
I guess you do. I have a relative, actually, who manages a number of them, and he's described some of the things that he's seen. But at his truck stops, they would ask for the ID. These places, not so much. So I would like to know where the suspects rang up the $1,300 at the seven stores. You know, it's not as big, you know, when you average it out, but I would like to know. And did anybody there, did it slow them down at all? Did anyone actually ask for ID when they had the card? I never get mad at people asking for ID on the credit card. You know, when they'll say, I'm so sorry, sir, but I've got to ask for your ID. I never get mad about that. It's like, I would too if I were you.
It's nice to check.
Yeah. Thank you for doing your job. Appreciate it. But, you know, for crying out loud. So if you were in the area of Greenwood Memorial Park, and that was between 4 and 4:30 p.m. around September 14th, and you saw anything, police are asking for your help. So you can just go to the Cairo website or call Renton Police and let them know. Again, my hope is that any one of the – with seven stores, there absolutely has to be, right? One with a camera that's not grainy. I mean, it's clear enough so you actually see their face when they're spending the money.
Yeah, they must know exactly what these guys look like.
That's what I'm hoping for. And note, guys probably is guys, right? I mean, we do commit the majority of crimes. It's just I know it's statistically horrible because we're overrepresented in the crime area, but it's about a 90-10% split or
Why
so.
Why is that?
I don't know. We're just – what is the deal with us? I guess we could blame our parents, but it still doesn't account for just, I guess it's the testosterone thing. We'll just blame it on that. You know, can you imagine, by the way, if we blamed anything feminine on estrogen, that would be wildly offensive. And all of a sudden you'd lose your job and everybody be after you. But if you say, well, you know what, guys are just criminals because of testosterone. And then basically guys go, Ah, yeah, I can't really argue with that. Yeah, we really do do that more often. So, but even guys that get into trouble don't steal from mourning mothers at a gravesite. David Bowe's in for Dori Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Got lots coming up, including a European hamster commissioner. Yes, government needs a hamster commissioner in order to protect those lovable little creatures in the little spinny wheels. Also, Trump blinked. So says area politicians. Did they face down Donald Trump, or is something else afoot? We'll take a look at that and a whole lot more here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes filling in for Dori Monson, who will be returning from across the pond. He was there for this big Seahawk slaughter of the Oakland Raiders, where a record-breaking British crowd cheered on our beloved Seahawks to a great victory. And the NFL is hoping that that spurs more and more interest in making the NFL truly a world league. And, of course, world profits make them all excited about selling all that many more jerseys. And it should make the players excited as well, because they're going to make a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
David Bowes in for Dori here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dori Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You know, it's a funny thing. CNN's running this big headline. Trump doubts Mattis, says he doesn't trust everyone in the White House, based on, I guess, the 60 Minutes interview. We'll play more cuts of that coming up next hour. But if you watch the 60 Minutes interview, first of all, Trump is Trump. He's all over the place on basically every question. Secondly, he doesn't – I mean, I guess that's one way to interpret what he says about Mattis, which is, hey, you know, Mattis, I think he's a Democrat. You know, I like Mattis. We have a good relationship with Mattis, but he might – you know, everybody leaves eventually. The headline here, Trump doubts Mattis, says he doesn't trust everyone in the White House, suggests to me a little bit of, it's kind of like, hey, how can we make an exciting, paranoid-like headline out of what was really just a nothing burger of that part of the interview? And it's like, you know, if this were a milking machine, this would just be like one step too far on the cow, if you catch my This is just, they're just milking this one to the bone. And there's other stuff in there that's far more worthy of the weird headline than the Mattis commentary there.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
Other than he says, you know, Mattis is a Democrat. Well, I mean, you know, Trump used to be a Democrat, so he's like, I don't care one way or the other, and I believe him there. I don't think he really does care. So, you know, I guess it's better to have massive speculation about – it's easier to speculate about people and their personalities than it is about policies, because then you actually have to talk about – you know, what might actually work, what might be best one way or the other. So, and speaking of people instead of policies, Hillary Clinton was on with CBS News and was asked specifically about whether Bill Clinton should have resigned because of the Lewinsky matter. By the way, if you would have asked me back in 1993 if I thought I'd still be talking about this today, I would have bet a lot of money the answer is no. But here we are.
In retrospect, do you think Bill should have resigned in the wake of the Monica Lewinsky scandal?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't an abuse of power?
No, no.
There are people who look at the incidents of the 90s and they say a president of the United States cannot have a consensual relationship with an intern. The power imbalance is too great.
Who was an adult. But let me ask you this.
It's just like, she was over 18. Come on. Which that wasn't the question, whether she was an adult or not. Plenty of college students are adults, but the president is in a position of power. Note the abrupt change. I thought this whole thing was the way he asked the question. There are people out there that think that's such a journalistic cheat, you know, when they say there are people who say it's really you saying it, right? So why not just say it is said? And then that way, if they ask who are the people, you don't have to look embarrassing. You can just say, well, I'm one of them. So here's the question.
Right.
Right. So he's asking this perfectly legit question. And what's the interesting part to me was how adamant Hillary Clinton is about this is an absolute no, absolutely. There's no wiggle room. I'm 100% certain about everything that we did here.
Well, you think you're sick of talking about this.
Imagine
how she feels.
Yeah, good point.
In retrospect, do you think Bill should have resigned in the wake of the Monica Lewinsky scandal?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't an abuse of power?
No, no.
There are people who look at the incidents of the 90s and they say a president of the United States cannot have a consensual relationship with an intern. The power imbalance is too great.
Who was an adult.
So right there, was an adult. Now, what do you think she's going to do? What comes out next? Is it, hey, look, you know, she was an adult. It's time that we stopped pretending that she was a helpless maiden, and you respect the fact that adult women make their own choices. I was upset with my husband. That was between he and I. But as far as a professional relationship goes, is it more about what their situation was, or could she go a different direction?
Let me ask you this. Where's the investigation of the current incumbent, against whom numerous allegations have been made, and which he dismisses, denies, and ridicules? So there was an investigation.
The follow-up question there would be, Bill Clinton has numerous allegations against him, and those allegations have been denied, minimized, and ridiculed to the point where, remember, James Carville was famous for saying, it's amazing what can happen if you drag a dollar through a trailer park,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they had the bimbo eruption team and all this kind of thing. So she's no stranger to that. So I thought the whole this political tactic, not just for her, but for anybody, is getting older and older. When somebody's accused of something, and then immediately they go, oh, yeah? Well, what about those guys? And you think, well, I think it's, you have to be able to point out bias, and you have to say, was there an investigation or not? In this case, Trump is literally being investigated for the Stormy Daniels thing, which involves some of these allegations. And there's countless other people looking into everything that Trump has been up to. That's a sure thing. But the way she does this is, there's nothing wrong here, nothing wrong here. Trump! It reminds me of that movie Up, the Disney Pixar thing, where when the old fella and the young Boy Scout are trying to thwart the dogs that are chasing them, all they had to do was yell squirrel. And then, you know, if you yell squirrel, then all the dogs are distracted. You know, in the media, you yell Trump, or in the modern political conversation, you yell Trump or you highlight Trump, and then all of a sudden, people can't think about anything else anymore. It's like, it's the obsession with the man with the orange hair. And so, you know, all other previous topics of conversation are dead, and now they're just focused on Donald Trump and all things Trump-related. I find that bizarre and probably a little unhealthy. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM.